This week, the parsha, of course, is Vayechi, and like everybody, the Kli Yakar is first. The Kli Yakar is first. Damaged goods. The Kli Yakar's first topic is the question of the opening of the parsha. If you look in the Chumash, actually, you can't see it in the Chumash like this. You really need to have like a Tikkun or a Tanakh to see the layout of how the Torah presents these two parshas. But as I mentioned tonight between Mincha Maariv, if you look at the very end of Parshas Vayigash, which is on page 266, you'll note that unlike at many other parshas where the parsha ends and you see like a samach, 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 or a pei, 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 so here you don't have that, and that's simply because after the words Vayifru, Vayirbu, Ma'od, the Torah has a small space, the same space that you'd have between any two words, or in many cases between two psukim, and then it goes into Vayichi Yaakov. And if you look at the last pasuk of the previous parsha, it's Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen, Israel, meaning the man, or actually it could be referring to the people, but it's probably referring to both, lived in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen. They acquired property, and they were very fruitful, and they multiplied greatly. And then it says, that Yaakov, the very next pasuk, is that Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years, and the days of Yaakov, the days of Yaakov's life, the years of his life were 7, 40, and 100. So we're familiar with that breakdown. I'm not getting into it. That's, you know, Rashi discusses that with Sarah and with Ishmael. So that's a different conversation I'm not going to get into. What's interesting is that, and the Kli Yakar actually jumps on this, but we're not going to be looking at it, so I'm just going to tell it to you outside, is that the Pasuk says, Vayihi Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayav, that the years of Yaakov's life were 147. If you remember in last week's Parsha, when Yaakov encountered Paro, Paro says to him, how old are you? And Yaakov says, I'm 130. And by the way, my life's been pretty miserable. Okay, there are those who jump on this, Kli Yakar jumps on this and says, no, what you see here is that from last week's Parsha, from the moment of Atachi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, that Yaakov's spirit was rejuvenated, that Yaakov's life became a life of 147 years, and the misery that he talked about after 130 years was gone, essentially. I have my own gematria on this. If you look at the word Shnei Chayav, the years of his life were Chayav, so Chayav equals 34, and 34 equals 17 plus 17, 17 years in which Yaakov lived with Yosef before Mechiras Yosef, and the 17 years in which Yaakov lived with Yosef in Mitzrayim. That's my own little, little insight. Okay. Right, there's another, right. Shnei, right, the two bookends. So that's one of the things that he mentions, and he goes into the question of the three different reasons which are mentioned. But I don't want to get bogged down in it. If you really, it's very long, so that's why I skipped it. But you'll note that at the very top, I put in the anti Zionist theory. So, and I didn't give it to you, but essentially the argument that the Kli Yakar poses, he says that what happens is when earlier generations know that the Geula is far away. They're not going to be seeking out God to bring a redemption in the same way. So if you imagine Yaakov's children, they go down to Egypt. So of course they're going to settle in Goshen. Of course they're going to, we're going to be here for a while. May as well. Right? It's like what Yirmiyahu said to the people who went off into Babel. He said, houses and settle. You're going to be here for a while. 70 years. It's not a short time. It's a lifetime for some people. And so on account of that, he says that they're not going to be praying for the geula. However, he goes on to describe in his time the Kli Yakar. He says, "Kasher b'avoneinu midazu metzuya b'eineinu." He says this character trait is amongst us now, and he starts criticizing those who live in the lands of the nations, and they build these beautiful houses and very of stones and things which are going to last for a long time. And he says, and it's because of this that people are not dorish es pnei Hashem b'chol lev. They don't seek out God or appeal to God with their whole heart to bring them to the land, and that's why God leaves them there. So he's basically giving a little bit of a Musar slap in the face to all of us, saying, you have a very nice house, so Mashiach comes, you're going to give up your house? No. No. So he says, well, that's why Mashiach's not coming. Okay, so it's a little, that's what I call the anti-Zionist theory. or I should say the anti, well, however you want to figure it out, anti-Zionist theory. Okay, anyway, that's his thing. Okay, so that's the background that I wanted to give as far as our little Mr. Shmuz for the night, which maybe one day we'll take to heart, Mr. Shem.
That's okay. Business with a fancy house, with this, with that. You look at like Rabbanon's
Right. Okay. Correct. Right. The Chafetz Chaim was known for that as well, and he had nothing in his house. And he said, "I'm just passing through." So, okay. So now let's take a look at Lamed Aleph. So in order to get to Lamed Aleph, we have to look at Lamed Aleph on page 268 in the Parsha. Yaakov first calls in Yosef, and we may see a couple of subtle hints to the difference between Yisrael and Yaakov. I think at one point he called Yisrael like a Ruchani name. I don't know if that's a good enough distinction between the two names. There are a lot of theories out there as to what the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael is. Some say there's no difference, it's just the Torah picks one over the other. And I don't think that that's the case. I think there is. But to pinpoint what it is a difficult task. In any case, so Yaakov has Yosef come in and he asks him to swear not to bury me in Egypt. So first he says, you know, you're going to bury me. Yosef says at the end of Pasuk Lamed, Vayomar Anochi Esechet Varecha, I will do it. Vayomer, so Yaakov says to him, Yishavali, swear to me, Vayishavalo, and so he swore to him, Vayishtachu Yisrael, Rosh Mitzvah, and then Yisrael bows on the bed. So the Kliyakar looks at this from the perspective of what is the focus on the word li, hishava li. Is there something to be taken from that component? Meaning, the first question which she asks is like, doesn't Yaakov trust Yosef? So what's the classic answer for why Yaakov made Yosef swear? It was really to protect Yosef. Why? So because if Paro says to him, you can't go, it's, I swore. Okay, well, if you swore, then you can go. So the Kliyakar says,
what? I wouldn't marry to Paro if he swore. Big deal. So you swore. I don't care. So I'm still not letting you go.
That's a good question. I'm not going in that direction. We can have that conversation later. Why would it matter to Paro if he swore? I guess Paro, you know, honors if a person makes his word in that way. You know, I mean, Yosef could say to Paro, "Look, I swear I'm coming back." Okay, good. So yeah, I have two swears. That's fine. So there you go.
Didn't Yosef swear? Harold, he's not going to reveal the secret that he doesn't know.
That's a midrash. I don't want to get bogged down in midrash when we're focusing on text. It could very well be. You know, I mean, that's out there. This is a focus on Kliyakar, so let's see what he says. Mashenemar lashon li velo. The language of li, to me, or, right, or hishava li vayishavalo. Nir lefaresh. Shayim misyarei penyomar lo paro shiatir shvuoso. He was afraid that Paro would say to him, you have to be matir your shvua. You have to nullify it. That's not what you were talking about. You were saying Paro would say ignore it. So I'm saying Paro is saying no. I'll honor your shvua as long as you are bound to it. But if you are no longer bound to it because we're matir neder, so or matir shvua, then fine. So what does Yaakov say? Al kena mar hishava li hainu al dati. You're not swearing to me. You're swearing on my behalf. I swear it will be done. Okay, not I'm swearing that I'm going to that I will fulfill what you're asking, meaning from my perspective. Will you do it, Yosef? Yes, I'll do it. No, I'm swearing on behalf of my father. My father said he's going to be buried in Canaan. So Yishava Li, swear on my behalf that I should be buried there. It's a slightly different perspective that he's presenting here, but it makes the Shavua ever so much more binding. Because it's not, it's basically, it's the promise of a dead man. That's what Yosef is doing. So you want to fulfill the last request of the deceased. So he's flipping the shvu on its head. It's not a promise that Yosef is making. It's a promise that Yosef is making on behalf of his father that this will be done on Yaakov's behalf. You can't be matir Yaakov's neder. Yaakov's dead unless Yaakov agrees to it. So you can't. How are you going to ask Yaakov? Hey Yaakov, can we matir your neder? Yaakov's going to be dead. And so in this way, he's turning the neder, the shvu, however you want to describe it, and he's making it Yaakov's alone, so that Paro really doesn't have any power over it. Davar acher, another viewpoint. Lefisha Yosef amar anochi asechid barecha. Yosef says, "I'm going to do as your word." So what's the classic understanding of what it means? I'm going to do like you told me to do. So the Kliyakar says, "I'm b'midrash." She Yosef Amar Gama Nochi said, "Kamosha Atose." It's kidvarecha. Sometimes means your words, but kidvarecha also means
like
right, like your things, like the things that you're doing. So he says, "I'm going to do like you do." Atzavel levanai v'achai sheyiburuni beretz Kanan. You're commanding me and your other sons to bury you in Canaan. I'm going to command my sons to bury me in Canaan. Yaakov says, swear to me that you're going to do for me the same thing. In other words, that you are going to, just as I am doing, that you're doing. In other words, it's meaningful for me, Yosef, if you too are buried in the land of Canaan. I'm not going to make you swear that your children are going to do it, but I'm going to make you swear that you're going to make them swear. Okay? I thought that's just interesting. Next one, last one on this. Davar acher, shaya Yaakov rotza lechasos ha-shvua mepnei ha-omdim. Yaakov wants to hide the shvua from those who may have been standing around. Kiamar lo, sim yalcha tachas yirichi, rotza lomar v'yishavali. Okay, in other words, Yaakov saying to Yosef, put your hand on my, whatever the yarech means. Okay, whether it means, some means the thigh, some say it means the bris, some say it means on the back. But Yaakov is saying that. He doesn't say he's shavali. He doesn't say swear to me. He, at first, he says, put your hand in that spot. But that, as we know from Avraham Avinu, that's code word. What's the code word? Swear to me. Right? If you put your hand on the Yarech, that means swear to me. Amal Yosef, Anochi Asechet Varecha. Below Shavu, he says, I'm going to do like you said, but without a swear. Ki Ne'amanani B'diburim, because I'm trustworthy in what I say. By Yomri Shavali, so then Yaakov says, in other words, Yosef says aloud, Anochi Asechet Varecha. Yaakov's like, okay, psst, swear to me. Swear to me. He Shavali, swear to me. Hainu Lila Vadi, Besod, Shalo Yidam Yizeshum Adam. You're going to swear to me, since it's going to be between us. No one else will know. And if you need to use this as leverage one day, because nobody can protest now, and it's kind of like it's a perush on his first interpretation. The first interpretation was that you're doing this on my behalf so that there's no way to be matir neder. But this way, he's saying, nobody is going to know about it except you and me. And so also, there's no way to be matir neder. Nobody can object. It would be a disgrace to Yosef to indicate that his father didn't trust him. It's not that his father didn't trust him. Again, what's the whole reason for the swear? To protect him. But that's why it says Vayishava lo, not just some Vayishava that he swore. Vayishava lo, it was a whisper into Yaakov's ear, so that Yosef, it was also to protect Yosef from any kind of embarrassment. So there are a number of different levels of what Yaakov was trying to do here, according to the different interpretations that the Kliyakar presents to us. Okay. Now the next thing which comes up is that Yosef is told again that his father is sick, and so he brings his sons with him. And Yaakov talks to Yosef, and somewhere he tells him the whole thing about Rachel dying, and Rachel having been buried on the side of the road, and how there was nothing they could do at the time. And then at the end of all this, Yisrael, in Pasuk Ches, sees Bnei Yosef, the sons of Yosef, Vayomer Mi'el, and he says, who are these guys? Page 270, Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Yosef El Aviv, last Pasuk in Rishon, Yosef says to his father, Banayim, they're my sons, Asher Nosan Li Elohim Bazeh, that God has given to me here. But Yomar, so Yaakov says, or Yisrael says, bring them to me, and I will bless them. So, it seems like a very strange component to the conversation. You know, if we think about how long Yaakov has been in Egypt, he's been there 17 years. Do we think for a moment that he hasn't had a relationship with Menashe and Ephraim? Of course he's had a relationship with them. We see a second later, he says, Hamalach, Agoelosi, Mikol Ra, Yivarech, Hassan, everybody knows who these guys are. And he says, Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like Reuben and Shimon to me. They're going to be tribes. You, Yosef, your tribe is going to be broken into two, like in a good way. You're getting a double portion. So of course he knows who Ephraim and Menashe are. So how could it be that Yaakov does not know who they are when he sees them? So what do many commentaries say? That he looks into the future and he sees who's coming out of them. Okay? So the Kliyakar says, that is not the way that you look at people. And that's why Yosef says, B'naihem, Asher Nasan Li Elohim Bazeh. And God has given them to me here, and in this place, Nakat Bazeh, the Kliyakar says, he used the word Bazeh, like in this place. L'fi she'shalu, mi'ela she'enon ru'yin l'bracha. Okay, because Yaakov had asked him, who are these people who are not worthy of getting a blessing? Ki amar mi beten mi yatzu elu. Yaakov is really asking, from whose womb did these boys emerge? Ratz lomar, sheyamru ela elohecha ala egel she'asar yiravam. In other words, he's saying, Yaakov is talking about the mi ela, right? Mi ela, who's the ela? Ela elohecha, in the time of Yeravam, the Jewish people are going to say, following Yeravam ben Nevat, that these are the gods of the Jewish people, the egel, the golden calf that Yeravam puts at the gateway that he essentially sealed off to Judea. So he says, who is this? Right, Yeravam comes from Menashe. Beishiv Yosef, and Yosef says, Banai Hein, they're my sons. Doesn't matter what you see in the future. Mikol Makom Hein Banai, Umitzidi Hein Ruin Levracha. They're my sons, and from my vantage point, based on everything that's about them now, forget about the future, they are worthy of a bracha. God gave them to me here, in this place. Poba Mitzrayim. The imam, and yeah, who cares? Their mother is a Mitzris Bas Potifar HaKohenom. So their mother is an Egyptian, who is the daughter of Potifar HaKohenom. Oh, guess what? I could say the same thing about your mother. Right? In other words, yeah, it's because they have that in their genetic disposition that their mother, who comes from the priest of On, so yeah, that's going to happen off in the future. Okay, but from my perspective, they deserve bracha, because if not so, then how can God give Yitzchak a bracha? V'halo yatsu mimenu Esav Yaakov. Esav and Yaakov come out of Yitzchak. Rivka bas Besuel Arami. Who is Rivka? Same situation. But Besuel wasn't an idolater. We know Besuel was an idolater. So if Yitzchak can get a blessing, even though he's giving birth to children who will one day, through their genetic disposition, may have idolaters come from them, God doesn't care about the future descendants who may mess things up. Uberko. Yitzchak got a blessing based on Yaakov, based on the Zera that's going to continue the tradition that we're so proud of. You have to bless them too. Share mitzidi royim heim lebracha kiba sherusham. Kulam zera berach Hashem. They are children of their own who need to on their own merits get the blessing. And Basher Usham, of course, is a reference to the way that Yishmael is described when Yishmael is sick and he's thrown under the bush by his mother. And the answer is, Shema Elokim, Mekol Anar, Basher Usham, the way he is in that moment. Who cares what Yishmael's descendants may do one day? Yishmael in that moment is worthy of being saved, and so therefore he's saved. Same thing for Ephraim and Asher. So continuing in the blessing that's actually given to him, Ha'elokim Asher Esalchu Avosai Lufanav. That's the last blessing, I think, before Hamalach HaGoel, if I'm mistaken. So it is on page 272, but I'm not going to look at the pasuk now. Darshei Rishumos Amru, okay, so this is really more cute, along the lines of cuteness. Darshei Rishumos Amru Me'odi, when Yaakov says that the Elohim that watched over me, Me'odi Arayom Hazeh, from those days until this day, so what does he say? He quotes the Darshi Rishumos, who says that Me'odi equals 130. So in other words, the God who watched over me for 130 years. Hainu osa me'a shloshim shana. Shekilkalu Hashem kodim bo'olim etraim. 130 years that God sustained him before he came down to Egypt. Arayom hazeh, until this day. Milas hazeh olelem espar shiva asrei. So now it's 130 years until I came down to Egypt. That's when God was taking care of me. And then in hazeh, who was taking care of me? Well, I mean, God, of course, but Yosef during this time, 17 years he was living in Egypt. Even though it looks like Yosef is the one who's taking care of him during those 17 years, nonetheless, he applied those 17 years to the 130, or he hung them on the same hat, or on the same hook, rather. So it's a lesson in Emunah. It's really a very important lesson in Emuna. That Yosef, you think that you've been sustaining me, you think that you're the reason why I'm alive, you think you're the reason that I've had food all this time. Uh-uh. The reason why that happens is because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's an important lesson, despite appearances, that nonetheless God is in charge. Okay. I want to skip for a moment. So actually turn to the very last page in the Kli Yakar. Because was it last week or 2 weeks ago, either in Miketz or in Vayigash, we noted, or the Kli Yakar noted, that the famine lasted for 2 years, and then Yaakov came down and the famine ended, and he said that after Yaakov died, the rest of the 5 years of famine returned. And he said, I'll address that in Parshas Vayechi. So since we said that we would look at it in Parshas Vayechi, let's look at it, and then we'll go back to the Birchos Yaakov. Let's see how much we can get through all that. Okay, so let's turn in the Chumash to this. It's Perek Nun, Pasuk Yud. Okay, so it's after the death of Yaakov, of course, and it's on page 286 in the Chumash. Perek Nun, Pasuk Tes and Yud. Actually, and Yud Aleph. Okay, Vayal Imo Gam Rechel Gam Parashim. When Yosef and his brothers went up, they came. They were accompanied by chariots and horsemen. Vayhi Machaneh Kaved Maod was a very well. Kaved is an interesting word. Okay, Kaved. The article translates it as imposing. Kaved also means heavy. Vayavo Ad Goren HaAtad, and they came to the place which is called Goren HaAtad, Asher Be'Ivar HaYordan, on the other side of the Jordan. Which is an interesting question. Where that is? Is it on the eastern side of the Jordan? Is it on the western side of the Jordan? Were they crossing over the Jordan to get into the land? Which means that, you know, maybe this is a little premonition of how they're going to go into the land when they come next time. Right? When they come into the land. And they make a great hesped. Again, you see the word chaved me'od. Okay? And they made for his father a mourning period of 7 days. The people of Canaan saw this great mourning, Begoran Ha'atad, in this place. And they said, Evel Kaved Zeh L'Mitzrayim. Okay, there's that word again, Kaved, three times in three Pesukim. Alkein Kara Shema Avel Mitzrayim, Asher Be'Ivar HaYordan. So they call that place the place of the mourning of Egypt. Okay, Mourning. Okay, that's the background. So, before we get into the Kli Yakar, anybody want to take a guess where he's going to go with this? I already gave you a hint. I focused on a word that appears a few times.
Three times
is Kaved? Yeah. So, what's Kaved? No, it's the word Kaved. So now you got to look back. Look back in Parshas Miketz. Ah, you got it, Yisrael. Very good. Okay, take a look in page 230. Okay, let's see. It's Pasuk. Oh, V'harav Kaved Baretz. It's actually not 230. It's going to be the next one. No, where is it? I don't remember where it is. It's in one of these psukim. We are Rav Kaved Me'od. Where is it? Chamishi, did you see it? You remember it? Yeah, Bar Mitzvah Sedra doesn't help. You have to know it. You got to know chapter and verse. See, I forgot to look at the exact chapter and verse. Isn't it when before they go back the second time? So there it is, Mem Gimel. Okay, page 238. Perek Mem Gimel. Yeah, there it is. Pasuk Aleph. V'ha'ra'av Kaved Ba'aretz. I believe it's also mentioned elsewhere. Kaved Me'od, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so that's what you have. You have the Ra'av being described as Kaved. So now take a look at the Kli Yakar. Okay, on page 4 in the middle, Pasuk Yud. V'ha'vo ad Goren Ha'atad she'yemuk of kotzim. So Goren Ha'atad, a lot of people point out the word Atad has something to do with thorns. And he's surrounded by thorns. He says, "V'im darko shall call Goren Lios Mukav Kotzim, Lama Nikra Ze Goren Atad." But if what's a goren? I mean, a granary. It's not really. It's like so whatever. Some area. Okay, we'll leave it at that. But is it if it's the way of every goren to be surrounded by thorns? So why is this one called goren hatad? Yotemi shar granos. Every goren should be called goren hatad. Was there no other goren surrounded by thorns? The other question. Another question. They saw this in Goren Atad, and they see it's a great heavy mourning for Egypt. Why is it there? It seems to be implying that Goren Atad is the source or the cause of the mourning. The Ode Lamas Bidom Hamitzrim. Why are the Egyptians being maspid Yaakov? They're giving eulogy for Yaakov. Are they his children or his relatives that they have to give such a heavy eulogy for him? Are they such great tzaddikim that when Yaakov died, they felt it in their kishkis? And since when does kaved have anything to do with mourning? Veneer mikan raya lamasham chazal. Shabbos Yaakov Pazagarav. So he says, this is the proof that in Yaakov's merit, the famine ended. V'chasher meis Yaakov, in other words, 2 years into the famine, when Yaakov arrived in Egypt, the famine ends. And after Yaakov dies, chazar hara'av l'mkamo. Well, this is something, as I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, it's pretty incredible. Because after they come back, Yosef says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. The brothers make this whole deal. If you think about it, if in fact the ra'av, the famine, returned. So it's been, how long has Yaakov been in Egypt? 17 years. So who's storing food at this point in time? Right? Everything seems to be back to normal. So apparently Yosef continued good habits of old. Must have been the case if in fact it's true. V'alkein asu hamitzrim eivel kaved b'avur ki kaved ha'ra'av kabarishana. And it's the word kaved here is indicating to us that the kaved of before returned. So they felt it, that the famine was returning. Through the miracle which came. Because this goren just appeared that was surrounded with thorns. That there was no way to get into it. It's like in a movie that has a magical component to it, all of a sudden, you know, the thorns start growing. Right? So you can't, it's like Sleeping Beauty, right? You can't get into Sleeping Beauty because there are thorns everywhere which are being produced by magic. That they realized from the fact that they had no access to this goren, that it was in the merit of Yaakov in his lifetime that they did have the access to the goren, to have their produce and their wine. And in his death, the Rishaim, they're going to feel it, Shanim Shalulu Kotsim, because they are a parable to thorns. Shelo Yelem O Derech El Goren, that the thorns are going to prevent them from not getting to the from getting to the goren. Kasher Yelem Lefnim Ki Sartzi Lame Alehem. Because this has been removed from the Parsha Shmos, the pasuk by Yakutzu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael Yisbei Reizu Hashem Shamitzrim Nim Shalu LeKotzim. So it says this idea that they are compared to thorns. We talked about. So we'll see this in next week's Parsha. Next paragraph. Uchesherau Hamitzrim Shnasalam Neizeh Pidom Shikrala Hashem Lefnehem Goren Echad Mukav Kotzim Mikol Tzad Shaloka Derech Olam. When they saw this miracle that this goren surrounded by thorns came to them, Miyari Gishu Shegadar Hashem Badam Levolti Teslehem Mavo El Goren Od. They understood Alkein Espidu Amitzrim, and that's why they eulogized Yaakov. Evel Kaved, the heavy mourning. Ratzolamar Al Kovet Araav, because of the heaviness of the. Of the famine. And that's why we understand they're giving the eulogy for Yaakov and Goren Atad not before then. And when the Canaanites saw this heavy mourning in Goren Atad by Akashalo, Lamalo Asa Evil Zeh, Korimbon Lamakom Zeh, and they were wondering, why didn't Egypt mourn before they got to this place? this place. That this is a very heavy mourning, specifically for Egypt. Because the most difficult component of the famine is going to go back to where it was before. And where was the famine most felt, or where was it at least seen most? In Egypt. And that's why Egypt had to prepare. Akenu davka l'mitzrayim. V'lol v'nei Yaakov v'zeh remez nachon v'yakar. And it was specifically for Egypt and not for the children of Yaakov. It was Evel Kaved l'mitzrayim and not Evel Kaved for the sons of Yaakov. Are the sons of Yaakov mourning? Of course they're mourning. Do they miss their father? Of course they miss their father. Do they feel the loss? Of course they do. But they're not going to suffer the kaved of a ra'av in the same way that the Egyptians are going to, because as they come back to Egypt, they see that Yosef says to them, "Anochi achalkeleschem, I'm going to take care of you, and don't worry about anything in that regard anymore."
After Yaakov dies and they take him away, they would think that after 2 years. When it was Yosef who said it's going to be 7 years, and all of a sudden now, after 2 years, his father comes down, and all of a sudden it's not. Do you think maybe they would think of that also, the fact that bringing out this person, maybe that person is a great person, maybe he's do you think they would think that also?
Well, certainly, that's one of the interpretations on why Paro says to him, "How old are you?" Mm-hmm. Since we see the bracha that came when you came down, so, how long is this going to last? Okay, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha is like, you're an alta kaker. What I mean? It's like, is it going to happen? So that, there's certainly that perspective. Okay, all right. So let's go back to Birchos Yaakov. Okay, Perek Memtes. All right, I'm not going. We're going to skip the first one that I gave you because just look at the last line. He talks about, because he addresses the fact that it says that Yaakov at the beginning of the chapter, I'll just point out the questions which he has. We won't read it inside. But if you look at the Pesuk in page 274, Yaakov el banav, Yaakov calls his sons, Vayomer, and he says, Hayasfu ve'agid alechem, gather, and I will tell you, things which are going to happen at the end of days. He comes, v'shu b'nu'u b'nei Yaakov, gather and listen, sons of Yaakov, and listen to Israel, your father. So it's very strange what's going on here. Because on the one hand, he calls them as Yaakov calls them and says, Hey Asu, which is one type of gathering, make an Asifa, and I'm going to tell you about the future. And then he calls them in a different way, he says, He comes to, and Vishimu, listen, and he says Shimu twice. And he comes to Vishimu, but Yaakov, Vishimu, Yisrael, Avichem. So, the Kliyakar here addresses this question. He talks about the difference between a gathering which is for telling the future, and one which is like a more of a blessing. So he makes that distinction here, and how one is Yaakov and one is Israel, and one is Asifa and one is Hikabtsu. Anyway, the last line is the point that I'm going to focus just bring out here, the middle of the last full line. Hagadas hatidos talui beruach hakodesh. Telling for the future is dependent on Ruach HaKodesh, Sha'alav, HaMiyuchas, L'Shem Yisrael, Kishem Zeruchani. So there you see where he says that the name Yisrael is more of a spiritual name. Kisarisa Elohim V'Anashim HaTuchal. Right, you had an encounter with God, that's what Yisrael means. Okay, so anyway, it's a longer discussion. You see at the very beginning where I knocked off three dots, where I put in three dots, that means I took out a lot of the commentary here in order to bring this part out. So anyway, we'll leave that as it is because I want to get into Reuven. I want to get into Reuven as much as we possibly can because Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, it's fast, fantastic stuff. We're not going to get to all of it. Okay. All right, let's take a look at Reuven. Reuven. So we have to recall the blessing or whatever it is that's given to Reuven. So whatever is given to Reuven begins on page 274. Reuven bechoriata. Okay, let's get the nasogachor bechoriata. You are my bechor, you're my firstborn. Kochi v'reishis oni. You are my strength, my initial vigor. And some say Reuven was the first. Let's just say Zera that Yaakov produced Reuven. Yeser Seis V'Yeser Oz, foremost in rank, foremost power. Pachas kamayim al tosar, water-like impetuosity. You cannot be foremost. Ki alisa mishkevei avicha, because you mounted your father's bed. Az chilalti yitzuli Allah, you desecrated him who ascended my couch. So there's a lot of innuendo, a lot of hinting, the different things that Reuven did in his lifetime. We get a feeling of that he has a temper of some kind or impatience. There's a reference to what happened with Reuven and Bilhah in Yaakov's bed. But the question is, what is Yaakov telling him? I mean, he tells him you're my firstborn. Sounds like a good thing. I remember when this young lady was born. So I was in Rabbi Tendler's shir in YU. He actually met her when she was a baby. Gave her a big kiss. We haven't washed her face since. Anyway, and one time in shir, he turns to me and he says to me, "Before your daughter was born, who are you?" He says, "Some no good schnook." He says, "No, you were just a guy, okay? And then your daughter was born, and you become Abba, you become Daddy." So the birth of your child changes your status amongst the world. That's, you know, it doesn't matter, boy, girl, whatever. Once you become a parent, everything changes, in at least as far as the way people perceive you. This guy's he's a husband, he's a nice guy. Ah, he's a father. Okay, it's a difference. So Yaakov making reference to that, about what Reuven did for him in that sense, b'choriyata, is something which you can't discount and discredit. So the Kli Yakar, bottom of page 1, says, Targumo chazilach lemeisav t'lasa cholkin. On account of the fact that you're the Bechor, you were supposed to get three portions. Bechirusa, right, being the firstborn. Kehunasa, being the Kohen. Umalchusa, and being the king. Ratzlaf Arisha Pasuk, Ruve and Bechoriata, Ra'uyata lebechora. Levisha kolchi b'reishis oniyata, right? You are deserving, or you should be deserving, of getting the Bechora, and the Kehuna, and the Malchus. And it's all in there. Your Bechori, that's one. Yeser Se'ez, that's Kehuna. Yeser Oz, that's Malchus. Amnam, however, he continues, I'm in the third line in the middle. Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, right, how do we translate that? Water-like impetuosity, you cannot be foremost. Ki Melech B'mishpat Yamid Aretz. A king in justice is supposed to establish the land. L'chol Shovei Tzarich Lios Matun B'dvar Mishpat. And every judge needs to be a straight shooter when it comes to justice. But you're impetuous in everything you do. And you're very, very fast, very quick. You don't think things out. You have to be deliberate sometimes when it comes to judging. Al Kain, he says, "Ein ataroya." Unbelievable. "Ein ataroya l'kabel yisrona mulcha," and that's why you can't get kingship. You're too quick to rush to judge. Because you went on my bed, Alkane and Haroya Lukuna. So you lost Kuna. Hey, Malchus Kuna, gone. Maybe Bechori you have left, because, I mean, that's just a natural right. You're the firstborn, right? Ki Kuna in Yana Lahashros Ashkina Babes Amigdash. The Kuna is about representing God's divine presence in the temple. Shnikra Mishkave Avicha Shabashamai. Okay, and that's where God was. Oz Chilalti Tzu Allah. Then when you were on that bed, you messed up my, you know, Yitzui has a connotation of, I mean, the article translates it is as my couch. Okay, you can't have my couch. But he says, you desecrated it. But he says, Hainu mitashali, my bed, Kadesha lo olirod banimimena. One of the interpretations about why Reuben went into Bilhah's bed, whether he did anything with Bilhah or didn't do anything with Bilhah, the fact is that he was on that bed, and when Yaakov comes into the bed, he finds Reuben there, he says, "Ugh, what's this kid doing here? Forget it, I'm going to sleep somewhere else." And that means that Yaakov was celibate from Bilhah for the rest of his days, and this is something that Yaakov comes to criticize Reuben for. Because what was Reuven doing it for? So according to that view that says that he didn't do anything with Bilhah, he was just on the bed. The whole point of Reuven being there was to say, look, the way a nation is created is with 12. If my father is with Bilhah, he may have another child. If he has another child, he'll have 13. Which means that somebody needs to be rejected. Who's going to be rejected? I don't know. Could be me. Could be somebody else. But how is he going to pick who's going to be rejected? Maybe I'm going to be the first to go. And so therefore, Reuven did what he did, and he says, in order to prevent other children from being born. So this view, the Kliyakar's view, is not that Reuven is preventing children from being born because somebody will be rejected. I don't remember who says that. Maybe the Chizkuniv, I don't remember. But he says it's because everyone else that's born takes away from your Yerusha. So what's it all about? It's about the money. So you did it because you wanted money. So I'm punishing you with money. You want a double portion? Guess what? Only one portion, buddy. Says, who gave so much to me? Who supported me in his in my old age? Yosef. So who's deserving? Yosef. Yosef gave up everything. Gave up everything that he needed to in order to support his father. You ruined my life in a way in order to save a couple bucks. In order for you to have a couple bucks. So you don't get it, Yosef gets it. Amazing.
Harsh.
No, this is big stuff. In my notes I put big exclamation marks like, whoa. Okay. Next, yes or says yes or us. Okay, but now here's where the Kliyakar comes to Reuven. It's not, I don't want to say defense, but where he says all the other Mefarshim say that he didn't, that Yaakov didn't give him a bracha at all. Go to the second line, second word in the second line there in the yes or says paragraph. Ve'omer ani, and I say shebirchoy Yaakov me'birchos of Moshe. I say that Yaakov gave Reuven the bracha similar to the one that Moshe gave. What did Moshe give? Yechiru Reuven ve'al yamos v'hi mesav mispar. That Reuven should live and not die, and his dead should be a specific amount, right? In other words, a limit, a number. Perish Maria Barbanel, Tisha Reuven, Aya Muchrach, Lelech Barosh, Chalutz, Milchama. Because the Barbanel says, why? Because Reuven is supposed to be the first, supposed to be the front line of soldiers. V'alarova, Meisimu Milchama, Emarishanim, and as we know, who suffered, which cavalry or which battalion suffers the greatest. The greatest number of casualties? The frontliners. So that's the reason why Moshe gave Reuven the bracha. Reuven should live and not die. V'li nira, now the Kliyakar says, Shebircho b'inyan ha'oz v'agura, says that that's the bracha that Yaakov gave him. Shea gibor ba'aretz, he should be strong in the land, v'yitain ha'oz v'satzumos l'am, and he should have strength to give to the nation. Ke'alchim b'rosh ha'chalutz t'chichim li'oz giborim. They need to be fierce warriors. V'chol gibor nikra Ish Chai Rav Po'alim, and every warrior is called this Ish Chai Rav Po'alim, somebody just of great merit. Lafuke Hechalush Chashiv Kames, which is the opposite of the weak ones who are like dead. Lekach Ne'emar Yechi Reuven, Reuven should live. Umash Ne'emar V'yim Esav Mispar Nir Lefareish, the idea that what Moshe said, that his dead should be a number, Nira Lefareish Ki Nisachono Evim B'derech HaTeva Tolui B'Shnei Dvarim, that the way the enemy wins is dependent on two things. Oberibuyam, either they have larger numbers, or they just have a fierce and a tremendously strong army. Ushneim keecha tovim, and the two of them, oh, unbelievable! That's, you know, you're one punch, two punch, you're for sure going to be the stronger army. Yan ki Reuven garam liYaakov silu kashchina, and since Reuven is the one who caused Yaakov to lose. To lose the Shekhinah. He may be referencing something else. I don't know where that's, you know, it's not something which I saw in here. The Karav Adavar Lios on Shom Mida Keneged Mida should be Muhammad to Stalik Shekhinah Menu. And so Mida Keneged Mida should be, measure for measure, is that since he caused Yaakov to lose the Shekhinah, so he should lose the Shekhinah when he goes out to war. He's going to have to fight wars naturally. This is why Reuven needed to have the two brachos. One, sheyu anashav giborim, that his warriors should be fierce, strong. V'alzamar yachi Reuven v'al yamos. That's why Reuven should live and not die, because they're such strong, amazing fighters. V'yugam kein rabim ad sheyitzdarchu l'mispar, and they should also be many, so that by the way, misav might not mean dead; it may mean like his ranks should be a number. Ad sheyitzdarchu l'mispar, they should have a number. Ki muat, if they're going to be very little, nikru mei se mispar. They'll be counted as dead. Shemisparam yadu ala rabim. that everybody's going to know their number. Im rav tzrichin l'sof ram, but if there are so many that you can't count them, al zemar v'yumasav mispar kilashan v'yumasav moreh shiyu rabim tzrichin l'mispar, that you're going to need, you're going to have to, in order to find out how many there are, you're going to have to count, because otherwise there's no way to know. There'll be too many of them. That's the blessing that Moshe gave. So now I'm at the indentation smack in the middle of this whole paragraph. V'chein Yaakov bercho b'shnei brachos elin. So Yaakov gave him these two blessings. V'nasan lo ha-se'ez ve'oz. And he gave him se'ez and oz. Se'ez, haynu ha-mispar. Se'ez is a number. V'zeu be'etzem birchas v'hi mesav mispar. That he should be a number. And he's going to prove where he knows that the word se'ez refers to a number. V'ha-oz, haynu ha-koach. And oz means strength v'agvura. Nirmas v'birchas zechiru v'en v'al yamos, and that comes from the other half of Moshe's blessing. V'yoter misyashev in yamas aper l'ayin yana mispar, perish Rashi, shepirish v'yim misam mispar, she'en nimna im shar shvatim. Rashi says he should be counted with all the shvatim. That the number, you know, the idea that he's a number, it means that he's going to be counted with the shvatim and not rejected. U'mid dika amar misav mashma she midaber b'gvarim arbei she'yu nimnim nim Yisrael ki'she'yu kol Yisrael nimnim le'izet zorech. Since it's going to have so many men that when Israel is counted for a particular reason, they'll be a very significant number. As we saw before, and now he's going to prove it. Kimoshin Amar ki tisa as Rosh Bnei Israel. When you raise, what is raise? When you count tisa, it's the same letters, same shoresh, sin aleph, the same letters. If you throw the tuf from the front to the back. Then you have Se'u es Rosh, count the heads. B'chein b'chol makom nizkar mispar v'lashon se'ez. So numbers are always done using that shorish sin aleph. V'yamar Yaakov al pi shemnadin ha'yisa ro'i liyaser se'ez se'oz. Ratzal amar she'ilcha yitaron al kol shvatim pishnayim. You should have gotten this naturally. You should have had double. Kiflayim b'yin as se'ez ve'oz. You should have gotten double in these things naturally. The same as par. You're supposed to get double in everything. You should also get double in strength. So now towards the end of that line after the comma. Ach lefi shepachaz tekamayim b'chet shel bila, because you were so impetuous when it came to the sin with bila, al kein al tovsar lios lecha yitron al chicha b'seis b'oz. You're not going to get extra over your brothers in that. However, and here's the kicker. He says you should naturally get it, but you lost all the natural. Like your bechora was destroyed because of the way you are. Aval mikol makom guf haseis b'oz ani no sin lecha matana. And that's where the Kliyaka says. He says, I'm going to give it to you anyway as a blessing. You should have gotten it naturally. You lost it on your own, but I'm going to give it to you as a blessing. I'm up to the part which is underlined. Your sin should have caused you to lose it all. You shouldn't even be equal to any of your brothers. That's how bad your sin was and what your punishment deserves to be. You should have equal to all your brothers. However, al tosar, but you're not going to have extra. Al tikach lecha yeser alechicha mitzad shavon gorem lach, but you're not going to have more than what your brothers had. Okay, I mean, it's just an amazing perspective, because you look at this, you say, oh, Reuven, you know, once he starts throwing in pachas kamayim al tosar, ba 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 ba, you think that Reuven's getting nothing. Whoever saw this before reading this Kliyakar, I mean, unless there's another commentary who does, I've never seen another commentary who does this, but who thinks that Reuven in the end gets a bracha. And he's saying that Reuven meant to lose everything, and instead he at least gets something. But why does he get something? Not because he deserves it, but because, I'm saying, not because he deserves it on his own merit, but because Yaakov says, the fact is, you're my bechor. I can't have you walk away with nothing. You're one of my sons. So you lost your bechorah on your own status. Doesn't matter. You're still my kid, and as a result, I'm giving you something. Fascinating stuff. Okay, moving on. We're going to see something also with regard to Shimon. Right, remember Shimon and Levi. Take a look at the pesukim for a moment. Shimon and Levi achim klei chamas mecheros sehem. Shimon and Levi are brothers, and their weaponry is a stolen craft. All right, a number of references to what happened in Shechem, and perhaps what happened to Yosef. with the idea that they were the ones who wanted to kill Yosef, which is interesting because it lays into the question of did Yaakov know about all that had taken place at the Mechiras Yosef event? Did they know that some tried to kill him or wanted to kill him? Did they know that he was sold in the end? Did Yaakov know who was responsible for all these different things? Anyway, what does Yaakov do? Pasuk Zayin, Arur Apam Ki Az. So cursed is their wrath or their rage, for it is intense. They have Rasam Ki Kashasa, and their wrath, for it is harsh. Achal Kem Yaakov Afitzem Yisrael. I'm going to divide them up amongst Yaakov, and I will disperse them in Israel. So this is, it's interesting. The Levi, as we know, when they settled the land of Israel, did they have their own portion in the land? No, they have cities. So they're spread around everywhere. Where's Shimon? Shimon, what you said first. Shimon is embedded within the area of the tribe of Yehuda. Okay? So they don't have their own space. So I don't remember if I saw this somewhere, I don't remember where, but I remember the idea that I developed was that there's something about the character of Shimon and Levi. They're impulsive, but they're strong. And that the reason why Shimon and Levi, so by the way, this is the other reason why when people talk about the 10 lost tribes, they're mistaken. It's not the 10 lost tribes, because where's Shimon? In Yehuda. So Shimon, Yehuda, and Binyamin, and of course Levi, okay? Levi doesn't count as one of the 12, but Levi is number 13, okay? So those are all part of the second, the Galus Yehuda. So it's not 10 lost tribes. If anything, it's 9 lost tribes. Okay, but anyway, but Shimon is mixed among them because we need the Shimonites and the Levites and their strength of character and their strength of whatever it is they bring to the table. And that's the blessing of Achal Kem Yaakov Afitzim Yisrael. Now that's not the Kliyakar. Look what the Kliyakar says. So we note it says Davar Acher. He had another interpretation, but I like this one better. So this is one I present to you, and we'll finish with this one for tonight. Unfortunately, we didn't get to Yehuda. There's so much about all the Shvatim. That's in here. So much beautiful stuff that he has, but we're just going to finish with Shimon now. Davar Acher, Af Al Pi Shaha Azus VeKashis Oref Midara. Even though this boldness and this stubbornness is a bad character trait, Mikol Makom. Nevertheless, Yesh Bem Tzad L'Tova. They have a good side. Kimo Shamar Chazal have a Az Kanamer. I'd be bold like a leper, right? Lasos v'tzon avicha shebashamayim, to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. V'chein kashius ha'oref, and the stubbornness. Ach tovu l'Yisrael, k'dei she'yamdu b'dasam. The stubbornness is what has kept the Jewish people alive forever. Right? Look at the whole world. The whole world. You have over a billion Muslims. You have over a billion Christians. And who? You got a few million Jews. Why don't we just get with the program. Right? Everybody else seems to have something that we don't have. Why are we so stubborn? That's exactly it. Lo yeshuvmu, b'nei kol lishma b'kol zer. We're not going to listen to everybody else. Mezev shemar liyakov she'apam ki az. Right? Their anger, their rage is their strength. V'yev rasam, okay, and their wrath, dahainu ha'ivra sheni la'apam ki kashasa, that's also strength. Okay, that's their strength. So it's a bad character trait. So what are you going to do with it? In order to switch it around for good. Yeah, those are bad character traits. But if I spread it amongst all the Jews, thanks to Shimon and Levi, okay, who are we? We're Am Yisrael. Who are the Jewish people? We're Yaakov, we're Yisrael. And so it's those character traits of Azus and Kashus Oref, stubbornness and strength of character, that is what sustains the Jewish people. So it's the Shimon, it's the curse that's given to Shimon and Levi is really the blessing for all of Israel. What an amazing idea! Yeah. Fascinating stuff. So I don't want to get into it, but I do want to tell you that there are just a couple of things that you should be aware of when it comes to the blessings of the other brothers. And I'll just conclude with this: an encouragement to everybody to go through the blessing that is given to second Yisachar for sure, the one that's given to Yisachar. Oh man, the Yehuda stuff, unbelievable. Okay, so in Pasuk Tesvav, it talks about the Kinyan Torah, how you acquire Torah, and that's through the blessing that's given to Yisachar, which we're familiar with, but the way it's spelled out here is absolutely beautiful. And the same thing is for the blessing given to Naphtali, because Naphtali gives Imre Shefer. Imre Shefer is beautiful words, beautiful thoughts. So also, regarding the Kinyan Torah, that is given a blessing to Naphtali as well. I do want to just show you, I know I said I was going to finish, but I have to show you one more thing with Yehuda. We'll conclude with this. Okay? It's the part which is underlined, Pasuk Tes. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Okay? So you remember how in Perek Lamed Ches, after the sale of Yosef, we're immediately told afterwards, Vayered Yehuda Me'esechav, that Yehuda goes down from his brothers, right, a Yerida. What does the Midrash say about Yehuda? That Horido Oso Migdul Oso. Right, that he went down from his greatness. He was a leader, and this whole thing with Yosef, bad news for Yehuda, right? Look what the Kliyakra says. Ava b'shanim shela Aryeh, even though Yehuda is compared to a lion, shedarko litrof teref, whose way is to rip apart, you know, his prey. Okay, mikol makom miteref b'ni Alisa. It says from the idea of creating prey, my son, you arose. B'ni Alisa, lo haskamta b'tarof taraf Yosef. You didn't agree to kill Yosef. Ela Alisa, you went up. Nistalakta me'alachicha. You took yourselves away from your brothers. Shekein ne'amar v'yered Yehuda me'ezachav. You know it says that Yehuda went down from his brothers. Ritzalomar doesn't mean a yerida. Doesn't mean going down. Nistalik. May he separate himself from them. What is it, the Yerida? They're on top of a mountain somewhere. How do they see where the caravan is from? They're on top of a mountain. Yehuda says, I'm getting away from you guys. When you're on top of a mountain, how do you get away from people? You go down the mountain. He did not want to be part of the Chabura. Oh, or Alisa Lashon Mala, or Alisa means you went up. Lashon Mala, Shemitzad Teref, Bini, Shaloy L'cha Chelet Bo, Alisa L'malazo. Unbelievable. Through everything over on its head. This is why I love this guy. Kliyakar shows you things that you never would have considered or thought. And this is just an incredible... I mean, you know, when you look at Yehuda and all the things that Yehuda accomplished, the idea that Yehuda, of course, when Yaakov when Yaakov comes down, who does he send ahead? Yes, Yehuda, Shalach Lefanav, Laros Lefanav Goshen. Why Yehuda? Because he said, you know what, this, there's something special about him. Even his involvement in Mechiras Yosef, whatever it was... The fact that the way that he emerges from it, and the Vayered Yehuda Me'esachav, what is Vayered Yehuda Me'esachav? It shows us how Yehuda emerges even from the Tamar story. He could have let it all happen, and, you know, Tamar dead, no, I'll, you know, it all is laid to rest. No. Yehuda comes out, and Yehuda stands up and says, no, son can be managed, she's right. He's willing to take the punches that life throws his way, because he knows that life is difficult and life is not simple, and that sometimes you got to take a stand. But when push comes to shove and things come to a head, who are you? And it's an amazing character trait that Yehuda emerges to be the leader in the way that he does. Yosef as Bechor, yeah, we get it. Yosef was in a special place, and Yosef had a special relationship with his father, and of course he was a Bechor to Rachel. So there isn't really an argument to be made. Nobody's going to argue that Yehuda gets to be Bechor. That's not the case. But that he is the king? End of story. Even Yosef doesn't get that bracha. To be lo yasser shevet mi Yosef. It's lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda. And this little three-line comment of the Kliyakar here shows you how even the Vayered Yehuda Me'esechav is really to his credit and not to his detriment. Okay? By the way, this last thing, I know I said I'm going to end, but I put this here because it's just funny. He says, Lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda, look what he says here. Rabu hadeos, Too many interpretations on this. Perish pasuk zeh. The ha'ma'ayin yivchar perish me'ariya barbanel. Somebody wants to know them all. Just look at the barbanel. Ki huki beitz kol adeos. He put it all together. The chumash adim rubo rofa beforshim, and he talked about what everybody else says. Al kei mashachti adim ilalosich ornam al sefer ki aricha sipur. He says, so I pulled back my pen from writing about la yaser shevet miyehuda because I'm just going to go on and on and on. He says, yeah, barbanel already did it. Which commentary has the strength of character to say, I got a lot to say, but you know what? He already did it. I'm done. So no problem. I thought that was cute, just cute to see. Okay. This is a very, very fun class for tonight, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Go ahead.
Question.